This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. The sound of steam railroading in its dying days. In the late 1950s, photographer O. Winston Link decided to document the end of the steam trains in pictures and on audio tape. He used an 80-pound tape recorder hooked up to a portable power supply that he cobbled together himself. He recorded on the trains themselves and in the towns they passed through, the Norfolk and Western Railway, running through Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina. His assistant on some of those runs was Tom Garver. He's now curator of the O. Winston Link Museum in Roanoke, Virginia. Garver recalls recording on board the steam passenger train, the Cavalier, from Roanoke to Williamson, West Virginia.
It was a beautiful day, I remember, early June 1958, and the honeysuckle was out and the fireflies were out, and it was just a feast for the senses.
In these recordings, it's an amazing thing to be the listener here, because you really feel like you're in that train. You become part of that train.
Right. That was the whole idea. Winston wanted people to really sense it all so you could look at his photographs and listen to the sounds at the same time.
Now, we hear Mr. Link talking to you. You're about to leave a station. I think you're in Pembroke, Virginia.
Is the motor covered up back there, Tom? I think we better cover it up. I think I hear it.
So he's concerned about the sound from the tape recorder itself interfering with the recording that you're about to make.
That's right. One of the things very important to Winston was that you get the atmosphere of the place. Just as he wanted to get that in his photographs, he wanted that in the sounds as well, and he wanted to make sure that nothing would add to that or creep into it from the recording apparatus itself.
And this would be a tricky thing when you're recording on a train. It would be very easy to get a recording that's distorted, that's not at all listenable, and you somehow got around that.
A lot of that had to do with placing the microphones, and they were placed in an open door of the baggage car, but just out of the wind. And at times, I hung on the back of the tender holding the microphone, and once I was surprised because the train went through a tunnel, and so I got a face full of smoke and steam. The train is moving along the Tug Fork River, and there's a lot of little crossroads. This is coal mining country, and so the train's moving pretty fast. This is the Cavalier westbound to Williamson. The train is moving fast and blowing crossing signals for all these little roads that are going down to miners' houses and houses along the river or up in the hillside above the tracks.
It sounds like you're making excellent time here, too.
Yes, the locomotives were the Class J, and they were very powerful locomotives, among the most powerful and high-speed passenger engines ever built. When the sound gets deeper and sort of throatier, the train has gone over a bridge. We're slowing down now.
Now, this train pulls into Welch, West Virginia.
Right.
And unloads some packages.
That was a load of Wilson baseball bats. Just arrived in Welch, West Virginia. It's about 6 minutes ahead of time.
So he was keeping track.
Oh, sure.
Now, I've got to ask you about a recording that you've made, not on the train, but you're in the town of Husk, North Carolina, waiting
right
for the Virginia Creeper. This is engine 382.
Right. We're set up in front of the general store at Husk, and the whistle belonged to F.T. Nichols, principal engineer of the Abingdon branch, and he had had it made from an old artillery shell. It's not elegant, but it has a wonderful, wonderful sound. It's a three-note whistle called a chime whistle because it has several notes in a single whistle. But an engineer who knew his whistle could vary the tone, and you'll hear that. It just wasn't on-off. He could control the amount of steam going into the whistle and make a very nice sliding note in terms of its volume. Winston always wanted the atmosphere of the place, and particularly if there was something unusual or unique about that atmosphere. And in this case, what was unique about it was Jimbo, the dog that belonged to the folks who ran the general store. And Jimbo always howled when the train came through and Engineer Nichols blew his whistle.
He's really matching that whistle.
Oh, yes.
And Jimbo would have been hearing that whistle and singing along many times.
Yes. Jimbo sat on the front stoop of the general store and howled. Winston and I both loved it.
There's a point in the recording where you're in Green Cove, Virginia, high up in the mountains.
I think this is October of 57 when we were there. Winston loved photographing in the fall because the foliage was so beautiful. And this is almost a 3% grade coming into Green Cove.
So it's fighting the mountains just a little bit.
It really is. You'll hear the moment the throttle is closed, you'll hear the safety valve. There goes the safety valve. These were hand-fired locomotives. The firemen would shovel about 10 tons of coal out and back. And so, of course, you had to shovel like mad coming up that grade. But then when you came in on this flat spot and closed the throttle, there was no way you could not release the safety valve.
Now, what's the safety valve doing?
The safety valve is letting the excess steam off so the boiler doesn't blow up.
Now the train's chuffing away here.
Right. It's headed toward White Top, which was the highest point ever reached by a regularly scheduled passenger train east of the Mississippi. It's about 3,600 or 3,800 feet above sea level.
And if you're recording this, you're hoping to get that last whistle across the valley, I'd bet, and hope that no other sound interferes.
Exactly right. And sometimes Winston would ask the engineer to blow a crossing whistle. That's two longs, a short, and a long. You know, blow one, you know, half a mile out, even though there might not have been a road crossing, just for the effect on the tape. Winston had very strong feelings about the sort of honesty and quality of things made in the past and, you know, the cheap schlock knockoff stuff of today. Both of us love mechanical devices and devices that had a lot of age. The passenger coach on the Abingdon branch, it was a mixed train. It carried mostly freight, and way at the end was a baggage car and a passenger car. And the passenger car was heated with a coal stove, and Winston loved the fact that cast into the top of the coal stove was the little phrase, improved, 1886.
Mr. Garver, it's been nice talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Tom Garver is curator of the O. Winston Link Museum. The recordings of steam trains are on the CD titled The Fading Giant. You can hear more train sounds and see Winston Link's photos of the trains and of Jimbo, the Hound of Husk, at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.